I'm doing something tonight that I normally don't do, but I'm going to do it. Turn with me tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs, chapter 26. I'm going to go back into an old sermon that I preached 10 years ago. I don't know if I can preach it exactly the same as I did. It's on tape already, but bless God, I felt led of the Lord to do this, and I believe you're going to be blessed by it. Proverbs chapter 26, some very familiar scripture here. And let me start off with saying this. And I don't want the title to shock you a little bit, but I want to get into this. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll charge you more than you want to pay. Sin is a killer. And it's amazing to me how many people get out of sin, give their life to God, dedicate their life to Jesus, and because of challenges by Satan to their faith, to their finances, to whatever, to their church, whatever, they begin to fall back into sin. They begin to live like they used to live. And I've never been able to understand that in all the years that I've been saved. I got saved on Labor Day weekend at about 8:45 on a Saturday night in a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts. In Boston, Massachusetts, in a bathroom. I said it before. Every time I go to the bathroom, I just get excited. I think about where I got saved. Well, there was a throne there, so praise God, I got saved. And I have been saved since 1974. Kathy was so excited that I got saved. You got to understand, she lived with a heathen husband. Never saw an ugly woman in my life. I didn't care if he was fat. I didn't care if he was skinny. Fat women give you heat in the winter and shade in the summer. Didn't make no difference to me. I didn't care if he was black, green, brown, yellow, purple. I was a sinner. I was a rock musician. I mean, every kind of woman that ever lived, bless God, follows rock musicians. But when I got saved and born again, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I smoked a little dope a week. I snorted cocaine. Boy, I like to like that cocaine. PCP. I put PCP in popcorn machines. People would eat that stuff and go, whoa. Enough to hurt somebody. Full of the devil. A heathen boy. Made a lot of money. Woo! Money! Made a bunch of money. Made more money than my father did. My daddy was making $100 a week. Actually, $75 a week in the 50s. I was making $40,000 a year. Playing on the streets. Playing music. Doing everything I could. Got involved in organized crime. Got involved in everything. You know, people say, well, you in the mafia? No, I wasn't in the mafia because I'm not Sicilian. But I certainly worked for the boys and knew all of them. But what happened was, everyone that told me they were a Christian, everyone that believed in healing was sick. Everyone that believed in prosperity was broke. Everybody that talked about the love of God was mad at the preacher or mad at somebody at the church. Now, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And then, remember this, my mother used to tell me all the time, especially my grandma, I had two of the best grandmothers any man could ever have. On my mother's side, my father's side. One was 4'9", the other one was 4'11". I had the two shortest grandmas you ever seen in your life. My grandmother on my father's side, her name was Julianne Luke. That was her maiden name. It was Julianne Duplantis. She was a Frenchman. She said, Jesse, I don't want you going to hell. I said, I'm going anyway, Grandma. I know you're going, but I don't want you. Why don't you marry one of the girls in the church? And I used to tell her, I'm going amongst the Philistines. Grandma, I want a Delilah. Woo! Give me a Delilah. She'd go, oh, Lord, take me now, Lord. Take me now. I said, take her, Jesus. Take the woman. Drive me nuts about this Jesus stuff. My grandmother on the other side said, I love you, you my grandson, but you're going to hell so fast. I want to see you in heaven. I said, well, look at me now. I ain't getting there. She said, you drink too much and you're 12.
was full of the devil. My mother always introduced me as a heathen, which I was. Because sin had took me further than I wanted to go, kept me longer than I wanted to stay, charged me more than I wanted to pay. I've been rich. I ain't gonna lie about it. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. But it'll not give you any happiness. It won't give you any joy. A lot of rich people committing suicide and money's so wonderful. Why are they dying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Full of the devil. But I began to notice Christians. Finally, I decided to take up my grandmother, maybe date a few girls in the church to make me feel better because I was such a heathen. So I asked one of these girls one time, would you like to go get a Coke or something to eat? That was at the church. She said, yeah. I took it and blessed God. So, you know me, I mean, you know when you're 16, 17 years old, your hormones are kicked up pretty high. Especially if you're a little teenager boy, like I was full of the devil. You gotta understand, I brought my teachers, teachers that taught me could not get into the jug joints that I played on Bourbon Street. So I'd bring my teachers to Bourbon Street and let them see what was going on. They said, man, I'm telling you what. And they were girls so full of that, what do they call that stuff? if they fell off the stool, they'd bounce 6 foot. Everybody was all made up with that rubber stuff. You know, I don't know what they call it, but bless God, whatever, you know. Make a long story short, I mean, I was such a heathen. I mean, I just was. So I decided to date a girl in the church. This girl was kind of pretty, and I thought, well, praise God. I'll ask her out. So I said, you want to go get something to drink or something to eat? Oh, yeah. And that woman hit me like a hurricane in the backseat of that car. I mean, she double lip locked me like to suck the hair off my head. I ain't kidding. That girl, I said, wow. And I pushed her away. I said, I thought you was a Christian. She had just been speaking in tongues. Now she had her tongue all over my face. I thought, mama, this is one hot mama here. I know that sounds kind of crude. Listen, I'm preaching tonight because I'm getting out of town. That confused me. I thought you was a Christian. She said, but I like you. I said, I like you too, mama. But my, I said, don't you know God? Yeah. I said, really? Can you do this stuff? Well, no. But then why do you want to? You see, I just was asking an honest question. That I didn't understand that. Then I thought all Christians were crazy. And I noticed that the next Sunday, she was at the altar. Oh, Lord, oh, forgive me. She needed forgiveness. And I remember walking up to her and said, if you want to break it again, mama, I'm available. I was full of the devil. But what the thing I didn't understand was, how could you do that? Title of my sermon tonight is an old sermon. What in hell do you want? What does hell have to offer that people would be willing to throw away God, throw away the blood of Jesus, throw away the righteousness of God, the power of God, the love of God, and go back to hell? What is hell? Hell is hell, and hell is hot. Why would anybody want to backslide? What in hell do you want? Thank you. Praise God. I mean, what does hell have to offer that's better than Jesus? What? I don't understand that. How can you say, I can't help myself when you've been born again? If you don't like the way you was born, try it again. Get saved from what? Hell. Because hell is hell, ladies and gentlemen. It's the only way I can say it. You know the devil don't like hell. He's going to get thrown in the lake of fire. Why? It's hot. You think Augusta's hot? You ain't seen that till you get to hell. And the earth is not hell, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit. That's kind of weird to say that. But as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Let me say it again. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. I have never been able to figure out how anybody could get backslide when they've met the lovely Jesus. I got saved in September 1974. I have never backslid. Bless God. I got completely delivered of drinking. I got completely delivered of women. I got completely delivered of all that stuff. Bless God. I've had more fun being saved than I ever had as a living as a heathen from hell. Hell has nothing I want. It means nothing to me. And I've had some preachers tell me, well, how, bless God, Brother Jesse, I notice a lot of women follow you. Well, yeah, a lot of them do. But that doesn't bother you? No, because I'm a dead man, and a dead man can't do nothing. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. Don't even live by my own faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And he had women around him too. But you notice he wasn't going to bed with Mary Magdalene like that dumb, stupid movie, The Last Temptations of Christ, said he did. That's ridiculous. And besides, why do you always look at a woman some sexual object to conquer? She's more than a sexual object. She is a creation of God, ordained by God himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. What in hell do you want? I mean, why? I don't understand that. I know it happens all the time. Well, I was tempted beyond me bearing. Lie, you fry. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You ever look at that? Such as is common. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I'll just read the first part of it. There hath no temptation taken you such as is common to man. That simply means, ladies and gentlemen, the devil can't use anything against you that's not common to you. Or in other words, if you don't know about it, he can't use it. So if you already know about it, then bless God, why would you walk in that? Why would, my Lord, you know the temptation's coming. You know the problem's happening. And yet you say, I couldn't help myself. Lie, you fry. I had a preacher one time come up to me and he grabbed me. He said, Brother Jesse, I got to talk to you. I said, what? He said, come over here. And he brought me over there. And I said, what? He said, come back over here. And I'm like, he backed me all the way up into the flowers. I'm over here by the plants like this. You know, we're behind this bush, you know, stuff like this. And I said, what? He said, I have a problem. I have a problem. I got a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, I got lust in my heart. Lust in my heart. I said, you got lust in your heart. He said, yeah, and I don't know what to do. I said, he said, what should I do? I said, tell your wife. She'll stop it. Just tell your wife, man. Your wife can handle that stuff. You got a problem with another woman? Tell your wife. Look at women. Yeah, bless God. Why? Because women can handle it. Don't give me that stuff. I couldn't help myself. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. In other words, the devil can't tempt you with anything that's not common to you. 1 Corinthians, bless God, 10:13. So if it's common to you, you already know it's coming. Why would you do it? If I'm going to drive out tonight to go out to the airport and Brother Ralph tells me, Brother Jesse, don't go down that road. There's a big hole down there and you'll lose your whole car. It would be stupid of me to go drive right in that hole because he told me the hole is there. What in hell do you want? What does hell have to offer? Yeah, but she looks so good. She ain't that good. She ain't that good that you spend eternity in hell for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And besides, all you're doing is using each other. See, I don't believe in those marriage contracts. Why? Sign the dotted line, bless God. If you're willing to commit yourself to her, you ought to be able to do it spiritually, physically, and financially. Well, bless God. See, that's making a provision failure. Just in case it don't work, well, then you go with your money and I go with my money. No, it don't work like that. Marriage is a covenant. Glory to God. Everything I got belongs to Kathy. Everything she got belongs to Kathy. It all belongs to Kathy. I belong to Kathy. You know, it's a covenant. Kathy told me, you ever mess around on me, you ain't gonna have time to repent. I'm gonna make sure you go to hell, boy. Ooh, Jesus. All right. And you know, because she knew what kind of man I was just full of the devil. As a dog returning to his vomit, so does a fool return to his folly. I made up my mind to live like Jesus. Now, how do these things begin to happen? Well, the beginnings of evil start with an impure thought. See, the devil gets in your mind first. Starts with an impure thought. Well, you can't control your mind, but the Bible says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. Don't give me this hogwash. You can't control your mind. Yes, you control your mind. How do you know that? Because you have the mind of Christ. That's burden-removing, yoke-destroying, powerful mind. So what in hell do you want? But the beginnings of evil start with an impure thought, an unholy ambition, and an evil imagination. Impure thoughts. Just rebuke them. Right out loud. You get an impure thought standing in line at a Burger King. Say, I bind you, devil. People will back up. You can get your hamburger quick. Brother Kenneth Copeland's granddaughter is such a blessing. John Copeland's little girl, praise God, she was in the back seat of a car and she was driving with her cousin Max. Max is I think it's the first grandson of Brother Copeland. I may be wrong in that, but no, maybe, I don't know for sure. But anyway, he is Brother Kenneth Copeland's grandson, Max. And what's her name? John Copeland's, yeah. Courtney. So anyway, Courtney's in the back and Marty and John are in the front and Courtney and little Max is in the back. All of a sudden, Courtney's mama hears Courtney say, shut up, devil. I said, shut up, devil. Now this kid then was about 3 or 4 years old. So Marty looks back and says, Courtney, what did you do? She said, I told the devil to shut up. She said, why? Because he told me to break Max's leg. That's what he told me to do. Because Mac had his leg. But you see, they've already taught that kid to tell that devil, get out of my mind. My mind belongs to the anointed one and his anointing. Isn't that a blessing? Shut up, devil. That's all you got to say. If you stand in line and see some woman, you go, whoa, Jack, look at this mama. Just say this, shut up, devil. And your wife says, what you thinking about? I done forgot. Glory to God, saved by casting down an imagination. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Don't tell me the devil can deceive you when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation can take you lest it's common to you. Come on, don't insult God's intelligence, much less your own. But I couldn't help myself, lie you fry. Yeah, you can help yourself. All you got to do is tell your wife. Look them in. You out of your living mind, Jack. I'll tell you what, she'll stop you. She'll stop you and preserve your family. Or vice versa. If later you're having a problem with some hunk of a man, tell your husband. Oh, geez. Ooh. See, there's a difference between men and women. It's so obvious. And I'm not talking about from the sexual standpoint of view. I see, a man, if he's walking in the mall and some fine-looking woman passed by, a man's stupid. He goes, sure, Jack, check that, mama. Ooh. And the wife goes, shut up. Close your mouth, honey. You're drooling all over yourself. But a woman's exact opposite. She's not as noticeable. She'll walk by and some good-looking hunk by. She'll just go. They're more subtle about it, you know, than a man is. A man go. See, men are like dogs and women are like cats. You ever heard me say that before, haven't you? It just come to my mind. That's true. I was watching Dogs and Cats that day in the Lord. And I, not the other day. This was a few years back. And I thought, women and men are just like dogs and cats. Men are like dogs. Hur, 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 hur. Always griping. Hur, hur, hur. Women are like cats. You notice you can't touch a cat till a cat's ready. That's a fact. You notice you can touch a dog anytime you want. Why? Because men are like dogs. Men are like this. They're always looking at it. What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, not cats. Cat, get up. Cat, just look at you. You go to touch that cat. Ding, 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 ding. Woman's the same way. Then all of a sudden that cat will just get up, walk over to you by your leg, go, that old dog. Isn't that the truth? What in hell do you want? The beginnings of evil start with an impure thought, a unholy ambition. What does that mean? Trying to beat the guy next door. Bless God, I'm going to have a bigger church than him. That's an unholy ambition. I want to have the biggest church in town. That's an unholy ambition. You don't want that church for God's sake. You want that church out of spiritual pride that's in your life. That's an unholy ambition. Trying to compete and you're on the same team as the person down the street. But this is how it all starts. This is how people begin to backslide. The beginnings of evil start with an impure thought, an unholy ambition, and an evil imagination. Boy, that's something. Let me tell you something. The devil plays havoc with your mind. See, you got to understand something about the devil. He's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. You notice that if he says something, it don't mean deadly squat. Until you say it. You notice the devil tries to get you to say what he says, because what he says don't count. Because he's a foolish, stupid, ignorant devil. You got to be a dummy to think you can win a revolution with God. You got to be fool. Think about that. But you see, he gets you to say it. Hath God said, like he told Eve. Notice this. The Bible said death and life is in the power of your tongue, not Satan's. Amen. You can't die. I'm going to tell you something you ain't going to believe. Probably one of these people that think they're a watchdog or a watchman of the church. Say, you can't die unless you speak it out. It's appointed unto man wants to die, but death and life's in the power of the tongue. Not Satan's tongue. Not the genetics of your family. It's your tongue. It's in you. Your body is designed to regenerate itself. Now, I know that we all get old. Everybody sags a little bit, blessed like that. But you know what? Scripture said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells. Didn't say visits. Right. Dwells in you. Quickens. What the word quicken means? Make alive. Right. Make alive what? Your mortal body. Make alive your mortal body. That's what happened to Abraham. Make alive your mortal body. I told that to my daddy not long ago. My dad's 74. He said, boy, I'm getting old, Dad. I said, well, your mouth's making it happen, Dad. He said, son, I ain't getting old. I said, no. I said, Abraham was 99 having babies. He said, man, that's encouraging. See, you got to cast down that imagination. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, you know, you got to die some kind of way. Well, that's true if Jesus tears you. Why do you have to die sick? Because you've been told you had to. Why can't you give up the ghost? Who told you you have to die with cancer? Well, mama had cancer and daddy had cancer. Diabetes runs in our family. Uncle Fred's hunting dogs had to take insulin. You know, diabetes just runs in our family. Why don't you let it run through? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say, though I stop, build a house, and canonize the place. Though I walk through. You see? So the beginnings of evil start with an impure thought, an unholy ambition, an evil imagination. But I couldn't help myself. But oh, yes, you're good. The Bible said, blessed is he who endureth temptation. It didn't say, blessed is it he who enjoyeth it. Let's face it, some of you men enjoy temptation. Don't lie to me. Some woman, especially a guy gets about 45 to 55 years old. He starts unbuttoning his shirt and let his white hair hang out off his chest. Because some young woman said, boy, you look good for your age. That just free. He go, he thinks, my God, I still got it. And your wife said, no, you don't still got it. I know you, boy. You ain't got it. It's the truth. But you'll believe a lie. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Didn't say who enjoyeth it. You know, I told a man, I had this preacher who's having a problem with lust and adultery. I said, let me tell you what your problem is. He said, what? I said, you don't hate sin. He said, oh, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. You know, most people don't hate sin. Most people hate what sin does to them. They hate the wages of sin because that's death. But they don't hate sin. See, if you hate something, you don't mess with it. President George Bush, when he was president of the United States, hated broccoli. You remember that? His mama made him eat broccoli until he just couldn't hardly stand it. He became president of the United States. He said, I'll not have a stalk of broccoli in the White House or on Air Force One. Get rid of that trash. And the broccoli growers of America got mad at him. He said, you think I care? You got a quarter? Call somebody who cares. I ain't eating your stinking broccoli. Now, George Bush said that on CNN. Now, hey, watch this. I promise you that George Bush can drive by an 18-wheel truck of broccoli and not be tempted.
Why? Because he hated it. You see, if you hate something, you don't mess with it. So I told that preacher, you don't hate sin. You hate what sin does to you. You hate the wages of sin. What in hell do you want? Because sin will take you there. The ticket to hell is made up of the substance called sin. So if you hate something, you don't mess with it. Is there anything you hate, Brother Jesse? Yeah, there's something in Australia called Vegemite. I hate that stuff. I told him, and I thought, my God, no wonder y'all talk like that, because you eat that Vegemite. It's yeast. Who wants to eat yeast? Yeast? Good Lord. There's some things, I eat just about anything, but there's some things I don't particularly care for. There's some things Kathy doesn't like, you know. Not much, because we Cajun people, we eat anything. You know, we eat crawfish. We suck their heads, make their eyes click. That's how much we like them. We've taught our crawfish to praise God. Just pick one up, his hands go up. And if he's a kid, he goes, oh, ba 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 ba. He know he gone. He's it. It's over. If we can't get it all by sucking, we stick our finger in and jerk his brains out. Bless God. We just love crawfish. Y'all call it crayfish. It ain't crayfish. It's crawfish. I had a Texan one time say, I'll tell you one thing. Boy, you Cajuns are so stupid. I was just looking at it. This was years ago in my ministry. You dumb Cajuns, boy. Y'all just so dumb. And he was eating crawfish. I said, we're really dumb, aren't we? He said, I tell you what, yeah, I think you South Louisiana people ain't got much sense. I looked at him. I said, how much you pay for that crawfish a pound? He said, $7. I said, we're really stupid. We caught it in a ditch, drove it to Texas, and sold it to you for $7 a pound. We ain't as stupid as you think we are. We picked it up for nothing. Praise God, right out of a ditch. We didn't go. He hadn't called me back. So the beginnings of evil start with an impure thought, an unholy ambition, and an evil imagination. Let me say it again. All the anointing any man ever needs is in his wife. That's why God said it's not good for man to be alone. That's why God believes in marriage. It's not good for man to be alone. See, the church world thinks that the highest order of life is celibacy. That ain't true. That's frustration. You ladies know what I'm talking about. You men know what I'm talking about. Don't let that freak you out. You know, people go, oh, he said that. Yeah. So? That's the highest order. No, it's not. God said it ain't good for man to be alone. And Jesus talked about this, that he that can receive that statement, let him receive it. Who that can't, you don't have to. It's just that simple. Well, I'm going to be close to God. Well, you can be close to God and be married. Why? Because you come together with your wife and say, I am separating myself unto the Lord this week, this whatever. I'm going to do some praise God. It's a common understanding, see. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just that simple, you know. But they think, well, that's the highest order of life. No, the highest order of life is to be married. It's called Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve. That's a fact. It's not Adam and Steve. I've said it before. Why? Because Adam and Steve cannot create. And Kathy don't like me to say this, but it's true. I didn't say they couldn't fall in love with each other. A man can fall in love with a man. I mean, I don't know why he wants to. I promise you, that's one sin I will never commit. I can stand on 9,000 stacks about. There ain't no man that I want like that. Who wants an old hairy leg looking man to start with? Got red on his nose, glory to God. Jesus help us. But I know it has happened. I'm not going to deny that. But you know, I don't deny the darkness. I just say light be. Well, I was born that way. No, you wasn't. Oh yeah, well, no, you wasn't. You're trying to make that work and you're like, you know, you wasn't born that way. Well, mama, because my mama loved me so much and petted me, and that's why I was like, no, affection doesn't turn you into a homosexual. There's a devil out there trying to twist your mind. You see? Why? He don't want you to create. He wants you to get out of the image of God and make you believe you can live an alternate lifestyle. No. You know, I mean, I'm going to say this, and I mean it. There's some men I love. That's really true. I love Jerry Savelle. He is one of my best friends. I love Kenneth Copeland, but I don't love Jerry Savelle. You understand what I'm saying? But I mean, watch this. I love Martha Kennedy. I'm serious. Now, she's of opposite sex. I love this woman, but I love Kathy. What's happening, mama?
See, there's a difference there. And Ralph knows exactly what I'm talking about. See, there's a difference. So I love some men that I love to be around them. They're friends. They're blessings. I love being around Dennis Burke. I love being around Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle. I enjoy being around those men. We have a lot of things in common. You know, we enjoy each other. And I love being around my brother-in-law, Jules Bouquet, because we all act like Clouseau. Hello, hello, we serve the case. You know, I love being around him. And I would do anything for those men. And Jerry knows that. What I got, his. And he told me, what I have, Jesse, is yours. Brother Coleman said, Jesse, anything I got, yours. I said, Brother Coleman, anything I got, yours. Why? Because not only we respect each other in the ministry, we're personal friends. I love Gloria Copeland. If Gloria would call me, I'd do anything for Gloria. It'd be a blessing to her. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's a difference between love and love. Love. You know, you understand what I'm saying? There's a vast difference in that. See, so what happens is you can love somebody. Don't misunderstand. But you should not love it, take it to the point of an evil thought, an evil imagination, or an evil ambition. See, I said that to say this. A religion without love is a religion without power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 1987, I was on PTL. I was preaching the gospel. People love Brother Jesse. I had brown hair. Y'all don't even remember. I don't know if y'all seen my friend. I had brown hair. Woo! I mean, bless God, and Jim and Dammy Baker done messed up the whole ball of wax. Made me mad as a hermit. I was going to fly to Charlotte and rip off Tammy's eyelashes and stick them on her forehead. I was so mad. I was so mad. Why did you do that? My God, it was doing the scandals called the Holy Wars. Y'all remember that? I got on an airplane, sat down by this man, opened my Bible to read my Bible. Tell them my message. What in hell do you want? A religion without love is a religion without power. Watch this. I believe in forgiveness. But I'm sitting there and I don't know this man from Adam or Eve or Steve or anybody. I ain't never seen this guy in my life. He's sitting in the middle seat and his wife's sitting in the end seat, in the window seat. I'm sitting on the aisle seat. This is before the Lord blessed us with a plane of our own. Make a long story short, I opened my Bible and he looked at me and he says, I guess you're a preacher, aren't you? Boy, I tell you, when all those scandals hit, if you was a preacher, people won't spit on you, you know. I said, yes, sir. And right in front of everybody, he said, what do you think about Swagger? Now, Swagger had just bit the dust, too. I looked at him and everybody went, you know, you kind of heard the word Swagger. I said, well, let's talk about your sin for 10 minutes and then we'll talk about Jimmy's. He looked at me, I said, have you ever committed adultery, sir? Have you? And when you say adultery on an airplane, inquiring minds want to know. Everybody got quiet all the way to the back. I said, answer the question. Have you ever committed adultery? We'll talk about Jimmy Swagger's sin in just a minute. Bless God. But let's talk about yours. Have you ever committed adultery? Tell me. Have you? Have you? I said it that loud. I was hollering at it. And his wife going, tell the man. He could not talk. He go. I said, come on. Let's talk about Jimmy. What Jimmy did was wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. What Jim Baker did was wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Have you ever committed adultery? We'll talk about them in just a minute. Let's talk about you. Have you ever committed adultery? Tell me. And his wife's mad at him. Tell him it. He never answered me. We landed in Dallas. He got up. He's walking out and his wife behind him. Did you? Did you? If you did, I did. She's chewing his head off. I went, ha, ha, ha. One for the Lord. Glory to God. You're going to attack somebody for what you done? I reached up at that, you know, the top to get my briefcase. I looked around. There was a bunch of people looking at me and said, he did it. Yeah, he did it. You know he did. You know that dog did it. Well, let me make this announcement on television. It's forgivable. Amen. See, a religion without love is a religion without power. It fails amid the temptations and conflicts of life. That's what Jesus went to the cross for. Now, I believe in forgiveness, but I also believe in fruit of repentance. I believe you're forgiven immediately, but I believe it takes time for fruit of repentance to grow. And if you truly repent, you won't think of yourself. You'll set yourself back and say, I've sinned. I need restoration. You see, a religion without love is a religion without power. It fails amid the temptations and conflicts of life. That's what Jesus was on the cross. He went to the cross for. So that we would be forgiven. Now don't lie. Let me just get point blank. Put the television by my face. Yeah, they got... I've had people say, you know, what messed me up was prosperity. No, 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 no. Don't insult my television. Put it by my face. Let me tell you what messed you up. Jessica Hahn. That woman in that hotel room messed you up. You understand? It's not hating sin. It's hating what sin did to you. Prosperity don't mess you up, bless God. It's your own lust within that messes you up. You crucify that daily. Don't insult my intelligence. Money is not bad. It's the love of money, the root of all evil. You understand? That's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. So don't give me this hogwash that prosperity messed you up. It's chasing women messing you up. And having sin in your ministry messing you up. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? That's simply the truth. You see, but I forgive. But I don't want nobody to lie. A religion without love is a religion without power. Well, don't you forgive people? I certainly do. Praise God, I honestly do. But I believe in fruit of repentance. What does that mean? It takes time to repent. Prime example. You give your car to your 16-year-old son. He take it out there, and that's all I got to say about that. Most men know what I'm going to say. He go tear that sucker up, rip all the tires off. He comes back. He starts crying. You catch it. Boy, give me the keys to that car. You ain't never driving that car as long as you ever live. He looks at you and he truly repents. He says, Dad, I'm sorry. I blew it. I ask you to forgive me. And you see that he's forgiven. You say, all right, boy, I forgive you. Do you give him the car back? Why? Why don't you give him the car back? Fruit of repentance. Take some time. You can't just say, I repent, I forgive, let's go on. You have to restore trust. That takes some time. That takes some discipline. That takes some love. Love in its purest form is discipline. My mother used to get so mad at me because I have only one daughter, Jody. When she was little, I gave Jody everything she ever wanted, my daughter. You know, when you only have one kid, it don't cost a lot of money to raise one kid. You know, some people have 5, 6, 4, 5, but you know, it costs more. But it's a little better when you only have just one. I gave Jody, me and Kathy gave Jody everything she ever wanted. And Mama used to get mad at us, my mother. She's in heaven now. And Mama said, you are spoiling that child. I looked at my mama, I said, Mama, you can't spoil a child with love. You spoil a child by not disciplining them. That's how you spoil a child. We gave Jody everything she ever wanted, but we beat her brains out 3 times a week. We disciplined her. Now, something happened to me when she started dating. I didn't expect my daughter to start dating, not my daughter. I am her boyfriend. I am El Shaddad. She come jump on my lap. Dad. All of a sudden, these boys begin to come over. I know what they're looking for. I've been a boy. So one time, this kid came over. I'll never forget this boy. This is the ugliest boy I ever saw in my life. His head looked like a hatchet. I mean, my God, he'd look at you straight. 2 eyes on the side. He turned like he had a head that long, you know. But I thought, my God, he ain't getting my, I ain't having no grandbabies with my head look like hatchets. I knew he was of the devil because he drove on my grass. Rolled up on my grass. My God, I said, that devil from hell's on my grass. He said, I want to see Jody. I said, you can't. He said, I think that's her decision. I said, let me tell you something, boy. You're on my yard on my grass. Don't let this white heifer fool you. You want some of me? Leap, frog. You think you bad? I'll go back to what I used to do. I'll make you an offer. You can't refuse. He got out of there. Cat Jody come down the stairs and said, Daddy, was that for me? I said, no, that was not for you. I ain't going to have no hatchet head grandbabies. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, God. I used to tell Jody, she'd get so mad. She'd go on a date with a boy, and I'd tell her, Jody, what in hell do you want? She said, my God, Dad, we ain't going to do nothing. I said, just thought I'd ask a question. I said, if you do anything, God's going to tell me. And she gets so mad. Tell you one thing, I can't do nothing, bless God, without God telling me. And my son-in-law is in that television truck, and God's told me some of the things they did. I just didn't tell him. Look at Kathy. Shut your mouth. Hallelujah. But Ed, they married, praise God, it's a blessing. But Jody gets so mad. She'd come in, she'd say, all right, what did we do? I said, I'll tell you exactly what you did. Oh, yeah, what? The gift of the Spirit would start operating. I said, at 11:35, you was over this place. You ordered something. You ordered this. I said, then bless God, y'all didn't have nothing to do. You drove over here to go to this place, and it was closed. He said, you decided to go park, maybe do a little smooching. And then you thought, my God, God's going to tell my daddy. She said, I ain't going on no dates no more. I tell you what, I can't do nothing. I always tell her, what in hell do you want, girl? Glory to God. How'd you like to live with a daddy like that? Glory to God. You see, but she was a good kid. She's made some mistakes. Why? Because I made some. One time she's 13 years old. I'm sleeping. You know, I know a 13-year-old because I've been 13. I've been 13. I've been a terrible 13. You understand? I'm sleeping in the bed. Kathy's sleeping. The Lord wakes me up and says, the girls are sneaking out. She had a slumber party. The girls are sleeping out, sneaking out. There's some boys down at the street waiting for them. I got up. I could hear them in the room. I walked out. I know they're going, they ain't going to go to the front door. Because Bojack going to let me know. Bojack was our dog. Which meant, Jordan's getting out, Jordan's getting out, Jordan's getting out. You know, the dog telling me. Oh, Bojack. He's in hell today, the old dog, praise God. But anyway, yeah, he's in hell. And he had a problem with... He was just a little heathen poodle, that's what he was. That's all I'm going to say about that, glory to God. Kathy says, no, he's not in hell. I believe he's in hell. Okay, that dog got to be in hell. I caught him. You didn't see what he did. He's in hell. God, old Bojack. So I walked out of my house in the back. We had a patio. This was the house I had a few years back. Not the one I'm living in now. And it had a patio in the back. So I walked out the patio, and it had some banana trees that Kathy or somebody had planted there, something like that, right up. And I got inside the banana trees. It's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there waiting. Because the Lord woke me up. All of a sudden, I see some three little girls. I let them get out of the house. They walked past the banana trees. I went, hey! They went, ah! They couldn't see me. I said, the Lord God speaketh to thee. Get thee back in the house. Jody said, it's God. Let's go back in. Then she noticed it was me. Oh, Dad! I said, y'all sneaking out. She said, did God tell you? I said, yeah. She's 13, about 13, 12, 13 years old. It dawned on me, where's them boys? So I had my pajamas on, you know, and Kathy used to get so mad at me, Jesse, put your clothes on. I said, figure ain't nobody at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going down the sidewalk in my pajamas, and several people say, how you doing, man? Jesse, oh, they're fine. Good, man. What you do? I'm looking for boys.
You're looking for boys?
I mean, that was another story in the newspaper. I said, y'all go on, don't worry about it. And I saw that car down that corner, down on North Cane Court. There they are. And I could see him going, good. I could hear him talking. Tell you what, boy, the girls are coming. Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah. I come walking up like that, and the window was halfway down. I said, how you doing, boys? They went, oh, Mr. Jesse. I said, what y'all doing? They went, praying. I said, you lying dog. Y'all wasn't praying. Y'all waiting on them girls. I said, what the hell do you want?
Nothing.
I said, boys, y'all better go home. I caught the girls. You can see them. Oh, I need to go to good. A religion without, like, it was good boys. They're good boys and they're good girls. Listen, they're good kids. It's called normal. You know, 15 is 15. 13 is 13. Whether they save or not save, 13 will drive you crazy. Because they're 13, man. Their little bodies are going nuts. Especially a 13-year-old boy. He's so hot, you can't touch him. You know what I mean? You know? He like Bojack. Right? Bojack went to hell. I want y'all to know that. That dog went to hell. Glory to God. All right. Kathy said, don't say that about my dog. But anyway, you see, I'm remembering old Bojack. He's probably in hell, I guess. Oh, it's hot. Oh, it's hot. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, my God. Hell hell is torment. The rich man looked up and said, I'm tormented in this flame. Don't tell me it's not there. He said it. That's coming from his mouth. Not God's. His. Send Lazarus. He's still trying to tell Lazarus what to do. Who do you think you are? Still trying to tell Lazarus to go get him some water. See, hell will never change you. You hear what I'm saying? Hell won't change you. Heaven does. Isn't that amazing? Now listen to this. The snare of covetousness will cause you to sacrifice the noblest part of your nature. No one can harm yourself, can harm you but yourself. I realize the only person that can harm me is me. Not anybody else. Me. I determine how I live for God. What I receive from God. And if I get into covetousness, you know, preachers are bad about this. And Ralph, I don't doubt, since you and Martha have been givers all your lives and still giving, I'm going to assume this, and if I'm wrong, you correct me. I don't doubt there have probably been some people over the years that you've known the Lord, and some preachers probably said, you know, Ralph, I am believing for a coat just like the one you got on. But you want to give it away, Ralph? You know, even have people do that. You know, we're believing God for that piece of furniture that you got in your store, just like that. But Ralph, I don't know. Ralph got such a good heart. Martha, they probably give it to him. I would say, well, you can have it for $11.95 on sale. You see what I'm saying? That is a con. That's a con. You see, that's covetedness. The snare of covetousness will cause you to sacrifice the noblest part of your nature. No one can harm you but yourself. So don't tell me when the scripture said they have no temptation taking you but such is common to man. That means the devil can't use nothing against me unless I know what he's going to do. And since I know what he's going to do, if I go fall for that stupid thing, then blame me for it because I know what he's going to do. Now, me and Kathy have a wonderful marriage, but it's the funniest thing. I have more fun with Kathy. Sometimes, and I'm wrong, but, you know, I guess I'm a jokester. I'm not the easiest man in the world to live with. And I fly, and I come back real late at night, sometimes 1:30, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Kathy will be sleeping in her bed, and I know she's in there. And I shouldn't do this, but it's funny to me, you know. And I'll see the doors half closed, and I'll just open it up a little bit and go, ah. Kathy wake up, who's that? Jesse? I don't say nothing. I just stick one eye in there. Jesse! She's bound me like a devil. I bind you, devil! Is that you, Jesse? Now, Kathy gets mad. When we go to bed at night, it's the funniest thing. It's kind of a race, you know. Because I can sleep with the light on. I can sleep with the radio blaring. I can sleep with the television. I can sleep with people screaming. Kathy can't do that. She gets in the bed first. She said, turn out the light. We're racing for the bed. I said, no, I can sleep with the light on. I hear over there. I said, are you speaking in tongues? No, I ain't speaking in tongues. That ain't fair, Jesse. You ought to take out the light. You're the last one up. You ought to take out the light. I said, I can sleep with the light on. The Bible said, let there be light. But Kathy's got toenails that are cut steel, boy. Kathy got the most powerful toes of any one woman I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you, she can break pecans with her toes. I'm telling you. That woman got a set of toes on you. I'd hurt you, son. She ever pinch you with her foot, you're going to go hurt. I mean, you need healing. You need Benny Hinn to pray for you. Kathy pinch you with her toes. What's over there? What's over there, Steve? What's over there? Oh, Sister Kathy pinched this person with her toes. Bring her over here. Kathy got toes, son. I ain't like a vice. I mean, worse than a crab. So, the other day, I said, get me started more. I was sitting on the couch. I said, hey, Kathy, I think I had my shoe over there. I said, hand me my shoe. She reached over with a leg, caught that sucker with a toe, flipped it over to me. I thought, my, I got to throw the quarter over there. Pick up that quarter with your toe, Kathy. Whoop, pick that quarter of her toe. She can flip that baby around with that toe, boy. That girl got some toes. One time, Bojack come in our room. She was sleeping. I said, get out of here. He goes, I pulled the sheet off and showed him Kathy's foot. He goes, took off. She done pinched that dog with her toes. That woman got a set of toes I ain't never seen in my life. Ugly little toes. You ought to see them, baby. They're like, no, they're not ugly. They're pretty feet, mama, pretty feet. Look at them feet. Look at them little toes. I tell you what, they're dangerous. So man, I could feel him toenails coming across the sheet like sabers. You're like swords. You better take that light off, boy. I went, okay, I'll take the light out. She missed me and hit the wood, cut the wood, bless God. No, she didn't cut the wood. Sharp enough to cut the wood. She got the most, and all, I think our whole family's like that. I think they had toe fights when they was little or something, you know? I don't know how she got the most powerful toes I've ever seen in my life. How many of you men, your wife's toes are like that? Don't lift your hand up, man. Put your hand down. Glory to God. What in hell do you want? You're about ready to go to hell, son. The woman's going to send you to hell. Glory to God. Yeah. You know, everybody just kind of, you know, everybody has their way. I just don't have them kind of toes. It's amazing. If Kathy lost all of her arms and her fingers, she can do anything with her toes. That day we didn't have nothing to do. I gave her a fork. I said, bend that, Kathy. Powerful toes. I better get off this toe thing real quick. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's just amazing. Hallelujah. But you know the funniest part of her toes is when she get a Charlie horse. She get a cramp. Her toes go. I say, suffer, baby, suffer. Suffer, you devil from hell. You pinched me a last time. She says, pray for me, Jesse. I said, no, let suffer a while. Let suffer. You learn not to pinch me no more. Come out! Cramp. But sometimes I can feel it. And her feet are cold. She says, my feet are cold. Well, get them off my body. Go wrap them with something. Why you got to put them on my leg? Ow! I mean, literally make, ow! I do that. I don't like that. How many men have done the same thing? Look at these dumb men. They're going to lift their hands up. I saw them went. Why will a fool return to his folly? Because he thinks sin is better than grace. The devil's lied to him. Made him live a life of flesh instead of a life of the spirit. I say this in close. A tree may be withered without being cut down. A person may be uttering fine words and yet be rotten to the core or rotten at the heart. Just because somebody's uttering fine words does not necessarily mean that they're pure in heart. Forgive me. I repent. Then you catch them again. You find out they're doing it again. What's happening here? Come on, let's not be foolish and let's answer these questions head on because the world wants to know what's happening here. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is a tree may be withered without being cut down. There are a lot of people in the body of Christ that are withered inside, rotten to the core, yet they're uttering fine words, raising monies that should go to projects that don't go. Tell people that they love God and go behind their back and cut their brains out. You know, heaven's full of hypocrites. Or is it? No, heaven doesn't have hypocrites. Hell has hypocrites. You know, my mother told me, she said, you have to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. And if you don't like them here, Jesse, you're going to spend eternity in hell with them. Heaven's not full of hypocrites. I said that like this. If I catch you, you went. I saw your mind go, oh, no, no. Hell is full of hypocrites. So if you don't like people here, why do you want to spend eternity with them in hell? And what does hell have to offer that's better than Jesus? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What does hell have to offer that's better than Christ? So I made up my mind that I would live a life of holiness. Now let me close with holiness. Didn't know what holiness was. Martha had no concept of holiness. The only concept of holiness I had in church was negative holiness. 30 years ago, most of you ladies could not be saved. You got makeup on your faces, you bunch of Jezebels. Women couldn't wear pants. It was a sin. Remember that? How many of y'all remember what I'm talking about? I remember. You see, I was raised a Catholic boy. Then my mother and father became a Baptist, and then we became Pentecostal. Went to the Pentecostal church. I'll never forget this in my life. This is funny, but true. So they asked me to go with the youth. We didn't have youth in the Catholic church. We just had catechism. No, you just... catechism. But they called it different things. Baptists call it training union. Pentecostals call it, well, whatever, just rebellious kids in this room over here, you know. So we went on this trip. The boys, the girls, you know, the young people. They said, now, Jesse, we're We don't believe in mixed bathing. I said, well, neither do I. I like my own water myself. How many of y'all used to have to take a bath in your sister's water? Hold your hand up now. Come on, be honest. Didn't you hate that? I said, Mama, what's the matter? We ain't got enough money for water? I don't want to take a bath in my brother's water. I want my own water. My brother don't, I don't like, he stink. I don't want to be in his water. I was little. Remember that used to put 4 or 5 kids in one bath of water. How many of y'all did that? Hold your hand up. That's called poor. Hold your hand up. Yeah. We all did that. Well, they said, no, you don't understand. No, we're not talking about taking a bath. He said, girls and boys can't swim together. I said, why? He said, well, we don't allow girls to wear bathing suits. I said, praise God. First time I ever said praise God in my life, I went, praise God. Hey, can we go see where they swim in? He said, no, they can't wear bathing suits. I said, you mean they can't swim in bathing suits? No. I said, well, what do they use to swim? Well, they got to swim in their dress. Now, what does a dress do when it gets in water? Lifting holy hymns unto the Lord. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious? They were serious. How many people know what I'm talking about? You lived through that. So hold your hand up. Do this. People think I'm kidding you. That's truth. Couldn't wear them. You had to wear a dress. What does a dress do? It praises God when it gets in water. And preachers wasn't that stupid. Few of y'all caught that. Glory to God. You understand? I couldn't believe it. I said, are you telling me? I remember asking the preacher and the youth leader, you mean to tell me you can't see a woman in a bathing suit without lusting after her? That freaked them out. Now, I was a heathen and knew I was. I knew I was a heathen. But they were rotten to the core. They were uttering fine words, but rotten to the core. I said, you mean to tell me all you ever see is a woman as some sexual object to conquer? They went. I said, you mean to tell me? I said, let me tell you something. I seen the women in this church. Ain't nobody going to lust after these women. I said, you won't see some women. You come with me, Jack. I'll take you to the 500 Club on Bourbon Street. So you could see Linda Bridgette and Sandra Sexton. Now, that is a woman. Son, that'll make you want to go to hell and enjoy it while you're going. I had enough sense and I was a devil from hell, but at least I spoke a truth in the heathen sense to them. I said, you know, you guys are just like me, but you got a front on. I said, I'm finished with this junk. And I walked out of there. You see, all my life, I was looking for somebody that believed that God was real. That God was true. That's what freaked me out about the girl. I thought she was at the altar. Well, then that made me think none of that stuff works. What in hell do you want? And there are a lot of people thinking that today. When he saw the preachers fighting each other on ABC, CBS, NBC, just so they can get a shot on Nightline and all that kind of junk. I thought, how ignorant you have to be. You've got to be ignorant to do that. And they were. They were silly and stupid. You can live a life of holiness. I'll say this in close. I was preaching Shreveport, Louisiana. Pastor put me at the Sheraton Piermont Hotel. Beautiful hotel. I finished preaching that night. It was a Monday night. I was soaking wet. So he took me back to the hotel. He said, Brother Jesse, would you like to go get something to eat? I said, no, if you don't mind, I'm tired tonight. I said, how about if we eat breakfast in the morning? We'll be okay. He said, that'd be great. So I walked through the door. Now I'm soaking wet. I just had a Holy Ghost power pack punch of kicking me. I walked through, then there's a woman standing there. She's a lady of the evening. She's a hooker. She's a hooker. She says, hello. It stopped me, you know, because I'm not a rude man. I said, hello. She says, hi. I said, hi. You know, I'm nice. She said, would you like to have some company for the evening? And I looked at her and I went, I'm a dead man. She went, oh, I'm sorry. I said, that's okay. She said, how long have you had this problem? At that time, I said, about 15 years. Oh, have you had any medical help? I said, no, I enjoy being dead. Exact words. She just looked at me. I said, lady, let me tell you something. I got a lot of company tonight. I got God the Father, I got a little louder, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And she went, oh my God, a preacher, and took off running. Now, I'm going to tell you something about them hookers. They can run fast with them little short skirts. I mean, they're going across the parking lot. That's about as far as she could go, because that skirt was so short. So I tried to catch her. Hey, wait, I'm going to get her saved. See, I'm going to tell her about Jesus. And the detective in the hotel said, look at that preacher chasing that hooker. That's a true story. I come back, I couldn't catch her. Boy, she's gone. I come walking in, and that crazy detective and the clerk there, the front desk man said, hey, preacher, what would you have done if you'd have caught her? You know, that's men, you know, the ego. I said, I'd have cast the devil out and set her free. I said, since we're talking, you going to hell, and so you going to hell. You need to meet Jesus. They went, listen, preacher, we got to go. We got to see you. We got to go. Man, I put the word of God in them boys. Well, when I got up to the room, I thought it was kind of funny. I called Kathy. I said, Kathy, hey, Jesse. She said, how was the service? And I said, it's great. Power of God moved. People were healed and touched and blessed. It was wonderful. I said, let me tell you what happened. She said, what? I said, I was walking through the door, and a hooker made a hit on me. She said, she got quiet. She said, what? I said, the hooker, the lady of the evening, a prostitute. She looked good, mama. She was pretty good looking. I knew that was going. I knew I could see her. I couldn't see her because she's in New Orleans. I knew she was going. I said, I tell you what, yeah.
What'd you do?
I said, well, I chased after, but I couldn't catch her. What? I said, I'd have cast the devil out and set her free, bless God. But I said, I couldn't catch her. I just thought it was funny. Listen to this. I didn't have a plane then. Next day, Kathy flew up. She caught that plane. Listen, this is the truth. We walked down, got out of the elevator, walked in. I stand there and Kathy goes, do you see her? Where is she, Jesse? Kathy was on the... I'll never forget that. I say, honey, you never have to worry about that because there's nothing in hell I want. Wasn't it more than 4 weeks later, I'm sitting on a plane going to Dallas. This lady comes up to me, sits beside me, sticks her hand on my leg, just grabs my leg. Look at her. I say, woman, they got Holy Ghost in that leg. I say, woman, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and power, I'm a man of God. I told Kathy, I said, Kathy, a lady grabbed my leg. Now, Kathy didn't care if the lady grabbed my leg. She just wanted to know how long it took me to tell her to take her hand off my leg. See, women want to know how long it takes you to tell that person, get your hand off my husband's leg. One more. I was on a plane flying to New York. I was in the aisle seat, bulkhead sitting there. Had me a USA Today, and I'd read, some of you have heard me say this on TBN. I was reading. There's three guys over there sitting next to me, and I didn't know who they were. I was just reading like that. This beautiful woman walks in, but I don't see her because I'm reading the paper. She walks right up to me, and I hear these guys. I looked at these guys. I heard these guys go, whoa. You know how men, they get stupid. Whoa. Check this mama out. Whoa. And all that kind of stuff. So I'm reading. I just kind of looked like that, but I still hadn't seen her. She walks right up to me, takes her legs and go, poof. She bumps my knees. Man, I put down the paper, and I see this lady, and I'm thinking, I must have her seat or something. You know, sometimes airlines make a mistake. So I say, excuse me. She says, hi. I said, hello. I said, do I have your seat? No. She says, where are you going? And I thought, you dumb woman, you're on the same plane I am. You ought to know where the plane's going. That dumb, stupid man. I got a mind. I can think. I thought, what? She said, listen to this, man. This is in front of everybody. She said, if you have time, I have time. These three guys, they look at me and went, look like Porky Pig, you know, that kind of thing. I looked at her and I said, you devil, to myself, you want to mess with me? I closed my USA Today. I said, excuse me, man. Backed her up a little bit and I stood up, got in the aisle. This was a beautiful woman, you understand? And all the guys going, bad. Son, I wish I was him. I heard him say, wish I was him, son. I'd go anywhere she is. And I just looked at her and smiled. And she had told me that. She says, I like your hair. All that kind of junk, you know. I just listened, yeah. I stood up. right in front of everybody in God, pointed my finger at that woman, and I went, "Whore of Babylon! Whore of Babylon! Whore!" She went, "Ah!" Ah! I went, "Whore of Babylon!" She took off running down to the back of the plane. The three guys said, "Where's Babylon? Where's Babylon?" They want to know where Babylon is, glory to God. Because that's one pretty baby coming out of Babylon. I ain't never seen her since. I sat back down, took my paper. What are you saying, Brother Jesse? I close with this statement. If you do not embarrass sin, sin will embarrass you. Embarrass it. Put it down. And you'll never fulfill it. Now that's how you live a holy life. And you can still, I'm just much a man as anybody in here. I see a beautiful woman. I think she's pretty, but I don't want the woman. That's how you keep your life in line. You embarrass sin, so sin won't embarrass you. So if they would have done that in 1987, doing the scandals, we wouldn't have had any. We wouldn't have any at all. And if you messed up with a woman, if you or messed up with a man, whatever, if you would have embarrassed sin, you would have never had that problem. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. What in hell do you want? Let me tell you. Nothing. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap. Glory to God. Give him a good one. Woo! Glory to God. What a blessing. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Man, I hadn't preached that in 10 years. I enjoyed that myself. What time? Oh, still dark. Why did the Lord want me to end this meeting here with this message? I had to go back into my, before I came, I had to go back into my repertoire of sermons and some old books and stuff that I had to copy this. Why? Because he's going to tell you once again, hell has nothing to offer you. And you know, look at Brother Jesse. Does it look like I have fun in life? I really do. You know why? Because I'm saved and I'm not in bondage. And as much as I joke about Kathy and, you know, I use illustration, I honor her and she honors me. And you see, if I would do something like that, I would hurt you. And I would hurt her. And I would hurt Jody. I couldn't hurt Jody. I couldn't hurt Kathy. But what's even worse than all that, I'd hurt God. Let me ask you a question. Have you hurt him today? You know, you can hurt him. Did he ask you to do something today and you said, "Now, I don't just know about him. I know him. I knew something wasn't right. Everything was working perfectly. Then it hit me. I said, 'Lord.'" He said, "What?" Because he wasn't acting like he normally does. I said, "Did somebody hurt you today?" He hesitated. I said, "Did somebody disobey you, hurt you today?" I said, "Lord, I know I'm talking to an almighty God. So lack of a better language and terms, it's the only way I can talk because I'm human. If somebody hurt you today, Lord, I'll make you feel better. What do you want me to do?" That's the only way I could say it. I said, "I know that's so limited talking to you." I said, "But I don't want people to hurt you no more, Lord. And I don't want to hurt you. I just want to obey you." And you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, I could say it better in tongues. But I would say it this way in English. He felt better. He said, "Thank you for being concerned." He said, "Yeah, my children hurt me today. I ask you, did you hurt him today? Did he ask you to be your friend? And you said, no. Did he ask you to do something? You said, I don't have time. With your head bowed. If you don't know my Jesus tonight, you'd like to get saved for the first time. Whew. Would you give me the honor of walking to the throne of God with you? It would be such an honor. But I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to take it a step further. Maybe you're in this building tonight. No, you're not backslidden to hell, but you're not living the way you should. And I ask you the question, what in hell do you want? And you need to draw closer to God. Some people call it rededicate. I call it selling out for Jesus. Burning all the bridges. Would you give me the honor of saying, Lord, they may have hurt you, but they're not going to do it no more. There's nothing in hell they want. They've been fooled for a minute, but now they're coming back. And Lord, they're drawing nine to you, and you'll draw nine to him. Would you make that commitment tonight? Every head bowed, please, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to get saved for the first time, or if you're not where you should be with God and you need to draw closer, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. Yes, up in the bleachers, I see your hand. Yes, here on the floor. Ushers, if you see a hand that I don't see, help me. Yes, sir, up here at the front, I see your hand. By lifting of a hand way in the back, I see your hand. Yes, I see those hands all over this building. Thank you, ma'am. You may put your hand down. Yes, sir, I see your hand up in the bleachers. You may put your hand down right here. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Way in the back there, I see that hand. I see these hands on the side right here. You may put your hand down. By lifting of a hand, you're saying, I want to get saved. Or you're saying, I'm not where I should be with God. I need to draw closer to him. Could I see another quickly? Don't miss my Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, I see that. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. You may put your hand down. Yes, I do. Yes, way over here in the back, I see your hand. Way up in the top, I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Look at the people in here. We got a crowd in here tonight. My God. I want all of you to look at me. But Jesse never lied to you. You know, there'll never be a scandal on me because I tell you everything. I live my life before people. I haven't done everything right, but I've tried to. I've made mistakes and I've hurt the Lord, and it hurt me to hurt him. I asked him to forgive me. I said, let me grow stronger because you've been so good to me. I want to live for you. I really do. Many of you lifted your hand up in the top here on the main floor. By lifting of a hand, you were a person of integrity. You said, I'd like to get saved. Or you said, but Jesse, I'm not where I should be. I thought for maybe hell had something to offer me. I don't know. But I come back to God. I draw closer to him. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, every one of you that lifted your hand, get out of your seat and come stand here in front of everybody. What's wrong with that? Jesus hung on the cross in front of everybody. He walked Calvary for you. He walked down the Via Dolorosa for you. Get out of your seat right now and come. Give them a hand clap as they come from all over this building. What a blessing. What a blessing. Look at the people coming. Give them a hand clap as they come, people. You're the reason why we came to Augusta. So many people want us to come. God, if we just had more time in a day. If we just had more time in a week. I really don't like being in my flesh because it has such limitations to it. Oral Roberts told me, I'm 80 years old, Jesse, and I still have it in me. It's burning in me, but my body gets tired. You can see that fire God in it. These bodies limit us so much. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why I want Jesus to come so I can start my work in heaven. And I'll have this new body that never gets tired. And ladies and gentlemen, there's things out there that you don't even know. We got great things to do for God after we get to heaven. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You have a destiny and a destination here. You have a destiny and a destination there. It's wonderful. Pray this prayer with me, will you? It's not a prayer of feeling, even though you feel things. It's a prayer of faith. I used to think if I didn't feel God, he was mad at me. Or I did something wrong, you know. I thought, well, what's the use, you know? But the Lord said, if you'll pray by faith, whether you feel it or not, I'll save you. I'll bring you back. I'll change you. I'll forgive you. I am the God of love. Most people think I want to judge people. He said, if people obey me, and I'm not a hard God, he said, they'll never see my judgment side, just like your children. If your children obey you, they will never see your judgment side. Isn't that amazing? Repeat this prayer after me. Say it with your heart and confess it with your mouth. Everybody in the audience, pray it together. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer will hell have something to offer me. I give my life to Jesus and for the work of the kingdom. Heaven is my destiny and my destination. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there for just a minute. Give him a hand clap. You made it. A simple prayer. One simple prayer ushered you into the kingdom of an almighty God. One simple prayer. You know why I asked you people out there to pray that prayer? Because if you're having problems with your body, like cigarettes, things that you need to get rid of, that power of God in that prayer, if it can deliver your heart from sin, it can deliver your body from nicotine. It can heal your body of cancer. It can break the poverty cycle in your life. Because you've been redeemed. But I can't quit. Quit saying that. You say this. I have quit. Your body gonna say, no, you haven't. You don't control me. I control me. I'm a spirit housed in a soul, clothed in a body. That's how it works. Simple. Just that simple. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I know it's late, but ladies and gentlemen, I got to fly to New Orleans tonight, so I'm not going to get to bed to the, like the RSA, the wee hours of the morning. And I got to get up and go again. I want to give you a free gift from my ministry, whether it's a first-time salvation, whether it's a selling out for Jesus. I'd like you to receive it. Your friends will wait for you. This will not take long. Brother Corey is one of my associates here. The anointing of God is on his life. He's going to pray with you for just a minute, give you a free gift, and they'll return you to your seats, return you to your friends. So, Corey, if you'll do this with both hands, everyone see that man waving his hands? I'm going to ask you to follow him and go get a gift from me to you. Every one of you, would you please start walking that way? Give him a hand clap as they go. Bring the children with you. Give him a hand clap. Roy, just walk this way. Yeah, go receive a gift. Come on, somebody shout. Yeah.